the main point, it's too early in the season. We're only at game week 6. People don't know these teams. I'm willing to bet that Burnley United is probably the first time most people had ever watched a Burnley game. And I'd be surprised if many people have ever watched a Luton game, because they've not played any of the big teams.
They played Chelsea, right?
So, as I said, I'd be surprised if anybody has seen Luton because they've not played any of the big teams. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show for the double Game Week 7 preview. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam. Sam, I've listened to way too much FPL content this week, which has been derogatory, dismissive of this double game week. So let's be the one show, Sam, that not only is excited about Burnley and Luton having a double game week, but the only show that actually knows what these two teams are all about. What do you say?
Sure, Siva. Yeah. I'm personally not that enthusiastic about this double game week, but we can be on behalf of people who are interested in Burnley and Luton players.
I got a message today when I posted that we were doing this show, and I was quite happy because when I tweeted out, I wanted to show just how much, you know, like I feel like you and I have, maybe because we've got nothing else to do, but we have paid enough attention to both these teams. So, you know, my tweet was about how, you know, we'll speak about everybody from Colioso to Cullen, from Doty to Kabore, you know. And the first reply I got was, why are you wasting our time? Nobody wants to hear about these teams. Talk about someone else. So I'm interested. And why is the reaction to this double game week so different from, you know, we were there for Watford, right? Everyone had Josh King. Everyone had Emmanuel Dennis. We were there for Weghorst. We were there for Shane Duffy. Maybe we didn't all captain Shane Duffy, right? But it was, what, 5-6 years ago. But everybody was there. Why is this double game week been so... Is it just because they're promoted teams that people don't know them, hence they don't care? Or is it because the fixtures are just that bad?
I think it's not bad fixtures. They're pretty decent fixtures, I think. It's more that the two teams, with all due respect, are kind of bad. And that's trying to put it lightly. I mean, they have 1 point each, right?
Yeah.
So... I mean, you and the other teams, like you mentioned, you know, the Burnleys, the Watfords, at that point where they were at their double game week, they had decent assets. Assets who, you know, like, okay, you know, I could take a punt on them. Right now, for these two teams, there are very, very few assets. Even, you could take the risk, but the odds of it paying off is kind of low, I think. We'll still talk about it. We'll still, because being FPL addicts, I think any double game week kind of poisons your mind. Like, we can't help ourselves. We're addicted to double game weeks.
Yeah. I think what we will give ultimately is, what I hope is an informed but balanced take. Like, you know, we've paid a lot of attention to these teams and we've done a lot of work into trying to figure out who the best assets are. But we won't go overboard in terms of buying these guys because we're quite realistic. But I think what you said, and I think you've sort of picked out the main point, it's too early in the season. We're only at game week 6. People don't know these teams. I'm willing to bet that Burnley United is probably the first time most people had ever watched a Burnley game. And I'd be surprised if many people have ever watched a Luton game because they've not played any of the big teams.
They played Chelsea, right?
So as I said, I'd be surprised if anybody has seen Luton because they've not played any of the big teams.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, so I think that's quite common. You get a lot of opinions about teams based on if have the big four played them, has a United played them, has an Arsenal played them, then people have opinions. Like that day when I was watching Burnley United, right? And I knew going in, and this is why I didn't have any United assets, I figured Burnley would give United a good game. I wasn't surprised. And Burnley, you know, first 20 minutes were all over United. Amdouni could have scored. He had a save from Onana. He hits the post. Colioso was rinsing Dalot, got him a yellow card inside the first 15 minutes, then went to the other side, got Reguilón booked. A lot of people were like, wow, this Burnley team, they're not bad. I wasn't surprised. Obviously, Burnley didn't win. What did you take from that game? Because that's the last time we saw Burnley's first team play. Obviously, they played a second team in the Carabao Cup and won, which is not really relevant. What did you think about Burnley from that performance?
Yeah, I think similar to what you said, Burnley were really respectable in that game. Could have easily won, I think. But it's partly Burnley being decent and United being pretty bad. So we have to balance both sides. But yeah, I'm impressed by Burnley more so than I've been the entire season for Luton.
Which is what I think we said on a few weeks ago. We felt like Burnley will still be the best of the promoted teams. Obviously, Sheffield United have thrown in the towel very early, 8-0 at Newcastle.
And I think people need to consider Burnley's fixtures as well, because in the first five weeks, because they missed one game, right? They've played City, Villa, Spurs, and United, with Nottingham in between. So those are really tough fixtures. So when you look at the stats, yes, they've conceded this many goals. They haven't got... But yeah, but those are really tough games for them. And
they've played easier games European opposition.
Yeah, yeah. Tough. Like you said, all of them are playing in Europe.
Yeah. And I think the one game that you could say they ought to have got something from in terms of standing of the team is Forest. And they did get a point there. Mm-hmm. So I think similar to Newcastle, the bad start in terms of fixtures... I think has over sort of colored the perception of how bad the team is. So I'm quietly positive about Burnley's chances in this double game week. Like, I think they can beat Luton. Luton, on the other hand, I think have had a very kind start and have not. They are getting better, but like should have beaten Wolves last week. I think they've had like 2+ XG and still couldn't beat a 10-man Wolves. Then they got knocked out at the cup by Exeter like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they did rotate. They did rotate fairly, but it's still... I mean, it's got to be demoralizing. And they subbed on all their good guys. I don't know if you saw... Issa Kabore is the one who committed the error. So everybody has Kabore and probably may play him this week. Let's, you know, before we get into it, all of this, would you be bringing in any double game week asset this week?
If I was on a free transfer, no. Like, I would not be wasting my free transfer on one of these guys because the chance of a payoff is so slim, and I don't think any of them have even haul potential, right? Like if you can even get 5 or 6 points for any of them, you'll be happy. So I wouldn't waste a free transfer on it. If I was on a wild card though, then I would, you know, if you're looking for a bench fodder, you could swap whoever your bench is, your fodder is for a Burnley player, a Luton player, and play them this week, and then bench them till oblivion from next game week onwards.
I don't think you're far off. And I think the reason why ultimately, just, you know, with much reluctance, I've come to the same conclusion that if you are, you shouldn't be using transfers on Burnley and Luton assets unless, and I would caveat one small point here, if you're wildcarding next week, then I don't care because it's a 1 week punt. So you do what you want. Or if you're wildcarding game week 9, which a lot of people are, then fair enough. I think it's okay. The reason I think you shouldn't probably go into this double too heavily is because if we look at fixtures, and let's bring it up now. Okay. So these are win probabilities, you know, some stats here, but this makes our work a bit easier. So these are win probabilities for the matches this week, except for Burnley Luton. So this is all the weekend matches. And as you can see, the two teams who are most expected, to lose by the biggest margins this week, right? The lowest clean sheet odds, Luton 17%, Burnley 9%. You got Wolves as well. Wolves play City. So, I mean, this is the first time I've seen Everton with 46% clean sheet, right? Like, Everton have never been top of any clean sheet metric this whole season. Now, Jordan Pickford, anybody who owns Jordan Pickford is suffering, but they are top here. That's how bad the bookies have Luton. And if you look at Burnley, right? 44% for Newcastle, 2.45 goals. It's all of this just says that to me, the people who are placing the bets and looking at the stats and all that don't give these teams a chance in their first game. So you're kind of just betting on one game. And I think Burnley v Luton is it's a way for Burnley. It's a 50-50 kind of game. It's only 72 hours after their first game in that weekend. And I'm a bit worried about, you know, there'll be some rotation. Neither of these teams have a settled, shall we say, a fully settled lineup. Luton, maybe more so, but Burnley, there's still a lot of options they have. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you even get 180 minutes out of your best assets. So apart from one guy who we will talk about, I think you, I can avoid this double.
Yeah, pretty much in agreement, I think.
Okay, so not controversial. Sad, because we will still talk about their players for those who are interested. Some people, you know, crazy people on free hit and all that. We will, you know, people want to do what they want to do. Let's talk about the big topic, which is Carlton Morris, right? We got to finish this off because.
Okay.
Because Carlton Morris scored this week. Okay, so we can't knock it, and because Nicholas Jackson, who I am stunned, after getting 4 yellows in 5 games, and Pochettino said I've spoken to him and told him not to get any more yellows. I'm surprised. He got another yellow. So he's suspended, right? And everybody is just doing Carlton Morris to Nicholas Jackson, or at least most people.
The other way, Jackson to Morris.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Jackson to Morris, yes. So people are doing Jackson to Morris this week. Like en masse, everybody's doing it. The people who are skeptical are probably going to end up doing it on deadline day anyway. So
I'm skeptical.
Let's talk about Carlton. I'm very skeptical too. But then again, I don't have that option because I sold Jackson 1 week earlier for Callum Wilson. But let's talk about Carlton Morris. As you can see here, we've got goal scorer odds for this week from FPL Chance. We retweeted him. He's very underfollowed. Please follow him. But 44% for Carlton Morris. When you add up, I have questions about whether this is a mathematically valid way of doing this. But when you add up his odds for both games, he's got 44% chance of scoring. He's the highest in terms of double gaming assets. He's third highest for the whole week. Amdouni, I love Amdouni, but his minutes just aren't high enough. So he's way down on 32%, as you can see on the screen. And if you look at some stats, just some. Okay, this is from Fantasy Football Scout. Morris is top for shots amongst Luton players with 13 shots. Luton take a lot of shots. He's on pens. He's only scored 2 goals so far, both pens.
I mean, Luton have only scored 3 goals so far.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But the positive of it is that he scored 2 of those 3, and I believe he assisted the other one.
That's correct. He did. I had to watch a very painful West Ham-Luton game on what was a late Friday night for us, so I can tell you. And I lost my Areola clean sheet with 2 minutes to go. So yes, I do remember that game.
Yeah, so it doesn't get more talismanic than this, than being involved in every single goal your team has scored.
So what's the thought process on Carlton Morris, right? For those people, especially, okay, now I think we said our starting point early on, which was if you're not wildcarding anytime soon, all of these guys are probably bad ideas simply because they're going to take up space in your team and you can get better assets for very similar prices, right? Instead of a 5 million mid from Burnley, I love Cole Osho, for example. He's 5 million. Or even Aaron Ramsey, brother of Jacob Ramsey.
Not related to the Welsh Aaron Ramsey.
Not related, but very similar. Box to box, does all that stuff. But again, 5 million, you can spend 5.6 and get Gordon. So, yeah. And Anthony Gordon plays Burnley this week. I think that's a single game week better fixture than anything else you'll get. But Carlton Morris specifically for those who are going to wildcard soon, because a lot of people who are doing this are going to wildcard next week or the week after. How do you feel about it? And let's address the question at the top of the show. How do you feel about people who are going to captain him?
Whoa. Okay. I think if you want to take an attacking punt on a double gimmick player, basically your options are only Morris and Morris, right? Basically, Amdouni, like you said, minutes risk, but I guess over 2 games possible. So yeah, maybe these 2. Like these are your only realistic attacking options. Of the 2, Morris does seem better. He's on pens, so that's already a big plus. Super involved in every goal they score, although there hasn't been many. But yeah, Morris, if you're looking for an attacker, that's the only option, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's... okay. Yeah, we know that. Because as we said, Amdouni doesn't play 90. And Lyle Foster, who is their main striker, who does play 90 minutes, will be back for the second game of the double game week. And my hunch is he outscores everybody in one game. But anyway, nobody's going to go for him because he only plays once. So, Carlton Morris, Sam, you didn't answer the question. You dodged it. You gave a Ray...
I wouldn't captain him. Political... I'm not going to captain him. Of course I'm not going to captain him.
Yeah, but how do you feel
right
about
mind
him
would do that?
Okay, but... You're somebody, see, I've used my wildcard, so this is not relevant to me, but you have your wildcard still. Let's just say you're wildcarding next week. Would you not be slightly tempted? Double game week guy, two shots at it. You know, if he scores a pen, he's probably getting max bonus, because they don't do anything else in, in build up.
I mean, to be fair, he's already had 5 bonus points, right? So every time he scores, he gets a bonus point, which is great. The problem is after that, unless you're just planning to bench him forever.
No, assume you're wildcarding next week or the week after. I think this is going to be the case for most people, you know, who haven't used the wildcard yet, are looking at Game Week 8, Game Week 9. Some looking longer. But let's talk about
Just as a single game week pun. Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great. I think, you know, on a single game week, he got 2 games. A pen in 1 game, and it pretty much should pay off already, depending on who you're taking off. He felt suddenly Jackson scores a hat-trick or something like that. But
Well, Jackson's not playing this week, mate. You're safe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so if Jackson is going out, then that's fine, I guess. Yeah. Go for it.
Good. I didn't think this was a controversial opinion. I don't know why it is. I mean, for people who don't have a wildcard, I think it's an issue. Or don't want to play their wildcard soon, it's an issue. Because I've looked at it and keeping 5.5 million on a forward on the bench for the next 10 weeks while you try and fit Salah and Son and Saka and all these other guys, it's not going to help. And you're probably never going to want to play this guy again. But I think 1 week, one shot, you get 2 games, he gets 1 pen, he gets lucky. The refs in this league are stupid, as far as I can tell. He shouldn't have got the pen this week. Okay, hit the guy's foot and then he hits his hand. Oh, that's a handball. Like, I don't know. So yeah, I mean, you go for it. Talisman, likely to play 90. He's played 90 in all but one so far. And they have nothing else. Like, this team has nothing else. If they don't win against Burnley at home, they're never going to win this season. So, I think...
Burnley did finish top of the league championship last year, right? When they got promoted. By a big margin, they were the best team in the league. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose to Burnley. But anyway, but that doesn't mean they can't score. So, Carlton Morris is probably your best bet. And only bet, I guess.
Would you bring in any of these other guys? Issa Kabore, Alfie Doughty, who's really creative. I'm not going to waste time talking to you about who they are. You're never going to care about these people after this week. But they've got 2 wingbacks. One is Doughty, 4.4. Kabore is 4.0. A lot of people started this season with Kabore. And of course, on the Burnley side, well, they're not... We've got our good friend, Amin Al-Dakil, 4.0 defender.
Now my favorite. My guy.
Yeah, your FM legend. I will try and give this one some thought because I have already used my wildcard and I have considered making a transfer for one of these defenders. And I'll tell you why, because it sounds crazy. It gets cash out of my defense. And long term, that's going to be really useful to me if I want to get Salah in without the wildcard.
When you say cash, you mean like you're transferring out Matty Cash for one of these guys?
I mean money out of my defense.
Defenders.
And some of them are quite useless, namely Ben Chilwell, who I wish nothing but bad things upon him. I don't know how he's managed to come back, and finally, I thought Ben Chilwell, he's back in the damn team, right? Because obviously Gusto got the red card, and no Reece James, who has managed to get suspended for mouthing off at an official while being injured, so fair play to Reece James. So I thought Colwill moving back to centre back. Chilwell is in. I have kept Chilwell. I am smarter than all these rash managers who got rid of him. And of course, he gets an injury yesterday. He's pulled his hamstring or something in the Carabao Cup. So I like the idea of getting a Burnley defender rather than a Luton defender. I'll tell you why. Now, on paper, the fixtures seem to favour Luton. You know, Everton and Burnley double versus a Newcastle and Luton double on the other side. But here's why. If you look at Burnley's fixtures from, say, game weeks 13 onwards up to 18, they've got better fixtures than Luton. As we mentioned, they've had all their bad fixtures in the first 5 weeks. So things will get better for Burnley. And this is a fifth bench defender anyway. You're not going to care too much. But if you look at, in terms of clean sheet odds, they're kind of, you know, Luton's slightly higher, but not that much. I think Burnley could keep a clean sheet at Luton. We just mentioned, right? Luton have only scored 1 open play goal this whole season. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow, and it goes against the Morris point, but I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Burnley magic a clean sheet at Luton. And then, you know, you've got a 4 million defender who's paid for his hit. If he doesn't pay for his hit, it's still, 4 points he'll get minimum, hopefully, fingers crossed. Newcastle don't go crazy. I don't know.
Another 8-0 or something.
Yeah, but I like that idea. And so I'm quite tempted, like Amin Al-Dakil, who is a center back. Mm. But I think as somebody you can park on your bench, I quite like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I have the same reasoning as you, Siva. Exact same reasoning. I think people say that Luton's fixtures are easier, but I don't think Everton is an easy fixture, you know. Because
no.
Everton actually have been playing pretty all right. Now, they just haven't been finishing, but underlyings has been really good. And last week, finally, it kind of all came out and they won 3-1, right?
Brentford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that easy a fixture going to Everton and then against Burnley. So similar, like I don't expect Luton to do much against Everton. I don't expect Burnley to do much against Newcastle. And then it's that second fixture between Burnley and Luton. I'm going to put my money on Burnley. So that's what you're hoping for, I guess.
And I'll just say, because obviously he didn't show up on that list we showed earlier, but Charlie Taylor, back in the team, he's 3.9. So if you're really cheap, you're penny pinching. I mean, Charlie Taylor, left back, 3.9, FPL heritage, he's got it all. I mean, yeah, depending on how much money you want to save, and if you're not going to use a wildcard anytime soon, I really like Charlie Taylor. I may do it this week. I'm strongly considering it to try and make cash for Salah, because I have come around, and I think we've done enough double gaming stuff, right?
Yeah. Let's move on.
Minutes on double game week. My God, nobody's going to be still listening to this, mate. Okay, let's talk. Let's talk how we feel about last week and all that. You know, we saw Newcastle win 8-0. We saw hauls for everybody, right? Salah hauled, the Spurs mids hauled, Saka hauled. United again did their thing. Bruno somehow magicked a goal, but apart from that, they did nothing else. Johnny Evans turning into prime KDB with that pass. Okay, like he has no right to make that assist. But let's address the big issue, right? Especially you, Sam, because you're thinking about wildcard this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Salah, where are you standing now? Another haul, another max bones. Like, how is he getting? He's getting max bonus from one goal a week now. It's annoying the heck out of me.
I don't know. I'm still really on the fence with Salah. I don't have him in my wildcard draft. It's not that he's been playing badly, but it's more that there seems like there are better options out there for a cheaper price. If they don't have to be to match Salah's 100% output, but if they can match 90% of it, that's already good enough, because you have that extra money that you can spend elsewhere, upgrade elsewhere. And things like that. Plus, you're not going to captain him, right? Unless you are brave enough to actually do it.
I mean, you say you're not going to captain him, right? But I mean, he's got a really good run of fixtures, right? So let's read out his fixtures. Let's see. Okay. So Salah, I have your wildcard draft here, so I can just show you that, and that'll tell you his fixtures, right? So let's look at Sam's wildcard draft, right? So I'll just read it out, right? So this is a wildcard draft you sent me today with no Salah, right? So you've got Raya, Trippier, Botman, Alderweireld. I like it. Gordon, Son, Bowen, Madison, Ward-Prowse, Awoniyi, Haaland, and then your bench is Areola, Porro, Anderson, and Watkins. So before we get to Salah's fixtures, right, you're confident that this midfield, Gordon, Son, Bowen, Madison, Ward-Prowse, that protects you from Salah. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah. And actually, I have money in the bank to do Son to Salah with this team, I think. I believe so.
I don't.
I'm a little bit short. But yeah, I mean, I can make it work, because like I have Watkins, which I can downgrade and stuff. Like, I can reasonably move to Salah with this team.
Okay, so you've accepted a scenario where if you need to, you'll get Salah by, say, game week 9 by removing Son. I think that's what you're saying. If you need him, you'll do it that way.
Yeah. But the way I look at it with Son's fixtures, I think he can match Salah.
Okay, so let's look at this, right? So Salah's fixtures from game week 9. Everton home, Forest home, Luton away. Brentford home, City in 13. Fulham, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace. That takes you all the way up to game week 16. I mean, Everton, just game week 9 to 11 alone should scare you, no? Everton, Forest, and Luton in three weeks in a row. Don't you think there's a risk, especially that against Luton, for example? Okay, so Haaland plays Bournemouth in game week 11, so maybe people captain Haaland, but a lot of people will captain Salah. Luton? I mean, we've just spoken about how bad Luton are. Not at all afraid.
Salah is definitely FPL blue chip, right? Like, the points will come. It's almost guaranteed. Maybe a bit less this year compared to last year in terms of explosiveness. However, consistency is off the roof. I mean, he's returned every single game he's played. I had Salah, you know. I started the season with Salah. Sold him in game week 3. So maybe it's I don't want to go back on my decision kind of bias. But what I'm saying is that, yes, he will score points. However, the sacrifice you have to make in your team, is it worth it? So, like, for example, with this team, with Sun and Madison's upcoming fixtures, Watkins has really good fixtures as well. If I have to get Salah in, I have to sell Sun, maybe downgrade Watkins as well. And I think Sun and Watkins points can match Salah plus, I don't know, if I have to downgrade Watkins, it'll probably be, I don't know, some 5 million player or something like that. But you get what I'm saying? Like, the replacement, Sun in my case, doesn't have to match Salah's points. It just needs to be somewhat near it, 90%.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And I guess the easy answer is, you know, instead of, you know, you don't get Saka with this draft, right? So, but how do you get around that? You got no Saka, you make do with, say, Moussa Diaby, right? That's your alternative. You sell Sun to get Salah. So now you're using Gordon instead, or Madison, to cover, you know, the fact that you don't have Sun. You're making some sacrifices, and you're still keeping Trippier. I guess the issue is just that, are you comfortable going against Salah in weeks where he may be a majority captain? Which, you know, you have Haaland in this draft, and you typically oppose Haaland. Some people have suggested, why not you just get rid of Haaland and have Salah for that week, you know, that entire run from game week 9 onwards. So have you considered doing that?
I don't like to talk about EO, but at 90%+ ownership, that's just way too high, man. It's too much to bet against. So yeah. However, I think I may come around to Salah. Like you said, if he hauls this week again, then I may start to worry. I think what I'm using, I guess, as hope against Salah is the fact that he hasn't even scored more than 2 goals. He hasn't even scored 2 goals in a game, right? And if you watch the games, it really does seem like he's taking a more creative role, providing assists, going in between the lines, and then giving great balls for Darwin, Jota, whoever is playing. The problem is, like you said, it seems like every chance he makes, they score. So he's racking up assists, racking up the bonus as well. So I'm not saying yet, definitely, yes, I will not have Salah in my team by game week 9-10, and I will go without him. Things may change, you know. At this moment, you know, I'm banking on other players, but we'll see how he performs in the next 1-2 weeks, and then, you know, I may change my mind.
Okay, I'll just give you this stat. It's not on the screen, but we tweeted it early in the week, so you can go find it. But most chances created, not including set pieces, in the entire league. Kulusevski at 15, but I guess nobody finishes his chances. Karim Mitoma 14. Purvis Estupinan 13. Mo Salah at 14. That's in the entire league. And then only you get to guys like Bruno, Saka, Alvarez. And this is the thing. Salah has reinvented himself. He is now basically KDB / Bruno. He's creating all the time. And this is the mistake I think you and I made, Sam, is we started watching games. This is where the eye test has let us down. We've watched too many games where this guy is way too far from the goal. He's not getting enough shots off. And we're thinking, okay, I can go without him. He's chancing these returns. He's getting lucky with pens and random assists. He can't keep this up. But what's actually happening is he can keep this up because Darwin has finally figured out how to shoot the ball after a full year. And since Darwin is finally converting chances, so Salah in the last game created 3 big chances. If Darwin had scored, you know, obviously Darwin did a few misses before he got the first goal. But if Darwin had scored the other chances, Salah would be on multiple assists. You're looking at even bigger haul. And because he's creating so many chances, his bonus is off the charts. His XA is ridiculous. It's higher than it's ever been in the entire time he's been at Liverpool. So I think starting perception was Salah, you can avoid because he's not worth the money. He's not the goal scorer anymore. He's a creator. He's too far out on the wing. Don't care about him because we watch matches. But now you look at the numbers and I think the problem is all these passes. It's similar to KDB, right? Who is always too deep and you think, why am I... Or even Kane, always playing DM. But then suddenly he's somehow getting these hauls. And that's what's happening with Salah. So I think you've got to stop watching the games. This is one of those things. Eye test is bad for you here. Except the math that this dude is creating too many chances. It's getting him too much bonus. And if Darwin somehow, Darwin, a shot machine, right? XG machine, somehow gets one of those chances into the goal, Salah gets all the bonus. Like Darwin got 6 points this week and Salah gets double digits. So for me, I think you just got to accept defeat and just get this guy in. And if you're on wildcard, I feel like it's a no-brainer, mate.
I'll consider it, Siva. I'll think about it. I think if Madison is really out, then I may just go without Son. Because I think without Madison, I don't trust Spurs to do very well without him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think
there's a lot of factors to consider. So,
yeah, the flags have made it more interesting and annoyingly have probably made it easier for some people. Like now their decisions, you know, a lot of flags, which we are not going to talk about because nothing's confirmed. We are recording this on Thursday morning or evening, depending on where you are. So nothing is confirmed. What I will just say, the last point is this. It's as somebody who wildcarded early and did okay, but didn't wildcard with Salah, I can tell you, it is harder to get Salah after you've done the wildcard than prior. Like, you, if you already have Salah, easy to move down. You know, you get whoever you want after that. Spreading the cash is no problem. The other way around, I'm having to do a lot of thinking. Why am I talking about Al-Dakil to you? Because I need to redistribute cash to get Salah in. So to avoid all that, and I'm going to have to do a lot of weird moves and take some random hits to make this work. And I'm, even then, I'm still like cutting it short, like maybe 1.2, you know, 0.1 mil short. I think, you know, mate, don't try and, I don't know. This is one of those bets you don't want to take for me.
Okay, fair advice, I think. Like, getting Salah in is definitely the safer play right now, I guess.
It's not just, it's a safe, I mean, okay, forget safety, just common sense, right? So a lot of people talk about Darwin, and I'm excited by Darwin. You know, we love being creative here. But Darwin's first game you're going to want him is game week 9. He plays in Uruguay against Brazil 3 days before that. I mean, that's, and then he's got, you think he's going to come back and play Saturday afternoon, 12:30 kickoff. I'm almost certain if he plays, he's going to come off early. It's all those things. And again, he's not getting the bonus that Salah's getting. So even if he comes and he starts and he hauls, Salah's haul is probably going to be higher. So I just think, yeah, you've got to go with the guy who is the only nailed attacker in that lineup, which Liverpool has finally clicked. And this is the guy who is actually going to play 90 minutes each week, unlike all the rest. Okay, so enough Salah propaganda. Yeah, I've bullied Salah, you into silence.
Salah is a great FPL asset. I've never denied that.
Okay, good. So enough Salah hype. Let's go back to fixtures this week. Okay, so we're done Liverpool. Do we need to talk about City? I mean, I don't think so. Like, if you have Alvarez, let's pause the Carlton Morris hype. I'm not selling Alvarez for Morris. Like, I don't care that Alvarez played midweek and played 75 minutes. He's playing Wolves. Like, Wolves were awful against Luton, and I will take any Man City attacker, even for 60 minutes against Wolves.
I think the only comment I have to make on Man City is that Walker is actually being really going under the radar, I think.
5.3.
So Chip has already won assist, coin assist last weekend. And he has started every single game and played 90 minutes. So it seems like his base is quite secure. And he was even rested midweek. Yeah, just, you know, people were debating between, you know, let's get Diaz, let's get Guardiola. I'm not sure who's going to start and things like that. But it seems like there is a settled attacker, as nil as you can be in a Pep team, that actually has attacking potential and is cheaper than, you know, Diaz. Yeah. So very under the radar, I think, Walker.
I don't think he's under the radar. I mean, he was last week, before last week, but I think after that assist, I think now people are getting quite annoyed.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't see many people talking about him.
he's not on a lot of wildcard drafts. I think a lot of people seem to think that City's run is that bad. Let's talk about this run, right? That people think is so bad that you don't need Alvarez and you're not going to captain Haaland, right? So Arsenal next week. Okay, you don't have Alvarez, yeah. But let's talk about, because a lot of people are trying to justify it, like, I'm not even going to captain Haaland. This run is too difficult. What? Maybe I'll just sell him. Arsenal away, which, let's talk about it, right? Last season, they won 3-1. Haaland scored. Brighton home in game week 9. Haaland scored twice against Brighton in a 3-1 win last season. United away, City lost 2-1. But that's different United. That was in the early days of Ten Hag when things were bright and happy and Sancho was still allowed to eat in the canteen. Whereas, now yeah. I hear Rashford was asked to delete him from his PlayStation friends list. Like just cut this guy out. So yeah, that's United. And then Bournemouth home, obviously City won 4-0. Chelsea away, 1-0 defeat last season. But I mean, I can't see... No, sorry, 1-0 win, which Haaland blanked in. Liverpool home, Haaland didn't play, but City won 4-1. Tottenham home, City won 4-2, Haaland scored. Aston Villa away, 1-1 draw, Haaland scored. You get the general theme here. Haaland tends to score in all these games. So
yeah, I don't... Basically, there are no bad fixtures for City, right? That's basically it.
Yeah,
like they might as well rank every fixture here as 1 or 2s, basically.
Yeah.
And rework the FDR for City.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... And what I would say is this. Even if you don't agree with that idea, you think that the hard fixtures are really hard. If they're hard fixtures, that means the best players play. Haaland will play 90 minutes against United, against Chelsea, against Spurs, against Liverpool. Alvarez will probably play 90 minutes as well because these are the games in which he makes sure you come out and show up. So that's even better for these guys. Like, what do we want from City assets the most? Is it games? Not really. We want minutes. That's the hardest thing to get. If you can get 90 minutes out of all these guys, you're happy.
Minutes equals points in a City team.
Okay, good. I think that was let's keep rolling. Spurs mids. So we both kept Son Maddison, right? This week. And we both had their hauls. Feel very good about that. I'm glad you really didn't sell me on United. Like, I was tempted to do Son to maybe Rashford or Bruno, and you really didn't, you know, you didn't give me encouragement, and it was good. And then I just, you know, just reading about Ten Hag and his ballness. I think Arturo Vidal said this week, like, these ball guys are very complicated. Like, he's...
I think he was talking about Pep, right? But yeah.
No, he was talking about Ten Hag. Because he was how is Ten Hag, you know, banished players from the dressing room and all that. And I don't know, man. Okay. Let's talk about Spurs and United hand in hand, because I think that makes a lot of decisions for people who are on wildcard this week. Do you hold off, you know, like, let's talk FPL Andy gets a lot of grief for this because he's got double United mids and he's holding on to Bruno and Rashford for dear life, but people are activating the wildcard to run away from them. So, and to get Spurs mids, basically. So what's the deal? Like, I feel United, at the start of the week, I was way off them, but then they did beat Palace. They beat Palace 3-0. Amrabat started, Mount started.
Palace didn't even play their best team. So.
It wasn't that... I mean, okay, no offense, but Palace, I mean, their best team isn't like, you know, world beaters. They're not... I don't think them resting Joel Ward and Mark Gahey and Eze, to be fair, but I don't think that's a massive drop-off. Were you not impressed by...
Mark Gahey is a big drop-off, I think. I mean, they basically did not play their entire back four, right?
Yeah, but a lot of those guys came on, right? So, obviously, they started with Dean Henderson, who then came off after 20 minutes. Sam Johnson came on. They did play Mitchell. They didn't play Joachim Anderson, sure. But, They played Gahey, who did come on later. Didn't start Eze. Eze came on later. Obviously, Alton Edwards injured. Okay, but let's not waste time talking about Palace. Let's just talk about United, right? Because you had guys back who weren't there for Burnley. You had Amrabat, which I think is the most important thing. Because... it'd be also Amrabat at the World Cup, right? He's exactly what you need. Like, you need, a DM who can run. So, and you got Mount back as well. So, are you not, you know, you've got basically everybody who you needed back. You just don't have Luke Shaw, but it's okay because Sergio Reguilón has become world-class left back again, right?
Yeah, pretty decent. Pretty good, actually.
United.
Yeah. there is a chance that they start playing well. So I think there are arguments for both sides. If you want to be patient, you can, I think, because of the fixtures, you might as well. But if you're on a wild card and you want to take them off for Spurs players who are already playing well, do you get what I'm saying? It's like you're holding on to players that you're hoping will start playing well versus a player at the same price or cheaper that are already playing well, who already have the form.
So let's be clear. You wouldn't have any United on wildcard.
I mean, I'm taking out Rashford on my wildcard, so.
Okay. Rashford, explain to me Rashford. Because I thought start of the season, I was quite smart by saying Rashford is way better than Bruno. But as the games have progressed, I don't understand what Rashford's doing. Like, I watched him against Burnley, and he got into so much space. But then from a position where he's got like five defenders in front of him, he beats everyone. And then he decides, I'm going to take a shot from here instead of, like, Casemiro's next to him open and he's just not interested in passing. And I don't understand. Like, what's the deal with Rashford this season? What's happening?
No, but Rashford has done that all the time. It's been quite an old complaint on Rashford, actually.
I guess so, it's because they used to go in the back of the nets. So,
yeah. Used to score. I mean, this is one example where it didn't come off, but there are plenty of examples where it did come off, you know. He's a goal scorer. It's in his nature. He will always take shots. It has been a big criticism on him that he's a bit too selfish. He doesn't really look up enough to find
sorry, is your daughter coming to give her opinion about United?
yeah. But it's been a criticism for some time. Not surprised by it. It's just when things are flowing and it's all going well, it doesn't really matter, you know. But right now, things are not flowing. It's not going well. Therefore, I'm just going to take United players off. I think, yes, they have new players coming in. Yes, it may start working out well. But until it does, I'm more of a let's see the results first kind of guy.
Yeah, I think I'm content to wait until after game week 10. So, yes, you miss out on Sheffield United in game week 9, which is an away fixture. But I think we have to sort of... I think the 8-0 for Sheffield United was... It has happened already. It is unlikely to repeat itself. Like Burnley, Bournemouth lost 9-0 last season. And then everyone said, okay, let's go in. And then the next week they do 0-0. Like, once the massive haul has happened, it may not happen again. So, I don't think game week 9... Even if you miss out on it, it's not a big deal. Like game week 11, 12, and 13, they play Fulham, Luton, Everton, United. And that's probably when I go back in. After the City game, then you'll have enough, you know, room to see how the new guys have adapted.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So Spurs, triple Spurs, right? I mean, no questions now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have, in my wildcard draft, I have triple Spurs. However, I'm putting Poro on the bench this week. I went for Poro over Destiny Udogi because it's differential and he's really attacking. Actually, he looks good. So yeah, bench this week, starts next week onwards.
Yeah, I went for Udogi early, obviously following the hype. He's cheap. I mean, I went for him at 4.5. But if I had the extra money, I'd go for Poro any day. I think he's the better guy.
And now that he's 4.8 as well, I think then Poro's 5. So just 0.2. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So moving off sort of the wildcard structure, because there's no point in discussing Saka. We don't know. If he's flagged, it changes everything. If he's available, I guess. If Saka's available, you have him on wildcard?
Yeah, I think I will try to fit him in. Because I really feel that Saka is just a long-term, maybe even a full season hole, you know?
I think similar to Salah, I have been guilty of allowing my eye test to try and tell me that I can go without Saka. Because again, same thing. XG is not that great. Very wide in most of the games. Doesn't take enough shots near the goal. When he does, you know, you saw this week's haul. It's a shot from range, which Romero kicks into his own goal. And then it's a pen. And it's a very random pen. But he keeps doing this. And he is this only team's, like, Arsenal still haven't really got going fully. Obviously, Jesus coming back has helped, but they're just so heavily reliant on this guy to just do something special, and it happens. Still on all the set pieces, so, you know, from his angle anyway. So still great for bonus. And EO is just too high, man. He's at 80% EO. So I'm getting, you know, if Sun didn't score last week, I'd be screwed. So, like, I think, yeah, it's just one of those bets that's too big to have, similar to Salah on a smaller level. Yeah, I think Saka, you got to have. And hopefully
he's injured this week. I have Raya this week. I'm going to bring Raya in my wildcard draft. Yeah.
I like it. I mean, what more do you need to say, right? He got two bonus in his first game against Everton.
Yeah.
Arsenal got good fixtures. He is the number one. I mean, Ramsdale played Carabao Cup. I think Arteta is just being polite by saying they both have a chance.
I think that pretty much solidified it for me. When I saw that Ramsdale started the EFL Cup, I was like, okay, Raya's in. And he dropped, you know, his price dropped, so it's 4.8. Relatively cheap for a goalkeeper of his quality, of his caliber. So yeah, I'm Raya's become my keeper now.
Yeah, better bonus potential than Gabriel at 4.7, I think. And you've got more attacking defenders you can get. Like, you got Matty Cash and all that, Estupinan, who you could get rather than getting a centre-back, I think.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
Let's talk about Newcastle. Okay, so 8-0. You had Botman. I got to the Newcastle game with no Newcastle defence and thought, I'm sorted, because I had clean sheets from all my defenders. And I thought, what's the worst that these guys could do? You know, nothing. I mean, okay, a six-pointer clean sheet. Bring on your worst. So, of course, Botman scores his first goal in 50 games. His first ever goal for Newcastle. Dan Burn, who never scores. Kieran Trippier, who had 7 assists last season, whole season, scored 3 assists in one game. Okay, so like, okay, you enjoy your haul, mate. I'm so annoyed, but at least I don't know Fabian Shaw, because I think Fabian Shaw owners must be crying somewhere, because to see all the other defenders return and then he gets 6 points.
And I think it's really impressive that they somehow managed to have 8 different scorers.
I think it's really annoying, is what I want to say, because I had Callum Wilson. I brought in Callum Wilson for this game and thought, I'm a genius. They'll win by a massive figure. He'll get a lot of chances. Two of those things happened. He had a lot of chances. He had like 4 big chances and they won 8-0, but he gets one goal and no bonus. Like, so I don't, but you got
still ball, good so goal, I think. Yeah. He'll probably start this weekend as well, Wilson. So
yeah, still a good hope. But let's talk about Trippier and Botman, right? Because I don't know. Are we going back in our words? You said Trippier is too expensive to have, but he's in your wildcard draft now. So is it a question of you're accepting EO, or you're seeing the error of your ways, or you are hoping Livramento never plays or keeps coming on after 65 minutes? Because obviously that's what happened this week.
Yeah. What's the thinking? I mean, first of all, I didn't even know his EO is getting high. I thought no one has
Trippier. Sorry, I shouldn't have told you.
So I thought Trippier is going to be kind of like a differential kind of thing.
I hate using this term. Amongst nerds on Twitter, yes, his EO isn't that high, but dudes who just switch on the app and play, his actual ownership is pretty high, mate.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly because I got a lot of money, not having Salah, that I can afford to do these kind of things. And, you know, good fixtures coming up. And I think I said previously, like, I'm not going to spend that money until he shows that the assist potential is coming back. And what a way to show it. 3 assists in one game. Why not? I guess that was my thinking. Now, if I am scraping money to get Salah into my team, then he probably will not be there. And I just go alone with Botman. But because I'm not, yeah, let's spend the money. Let's do it.
I mean, I'll just show you this. I did a wildcard draft that has both Trippier and Salah. So it's Areola, Trippier, Botman, Cash, Salah, Son, Saka, Diaby, Ward-Prowse, Haaland, Alvarez, with Turner, Kabore, Bell, and Archer. So I did this. I mean, obviously, this was just for people who wanted it. You get to fit in Trippier, Salah, Son, and Saka. But I've been told that a lot of people can't afford this draft because TV is quite tight on this. To be fair, I got it to the exact million. And you have no bench, right? You have Kabore, Bell, and Archer on your bench. So it's a bit sus.
But an easy fix would be like to just, you know, if you have someone else instead of Trippier, like, for example, Estupinan.
Estupinan, yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing I'm getting at, right? Yeah. I mean, Trippier and Salah, I mean, that's you. If you have Trippier, you're probably giving up one of Salah or Son, right? In a normal draft, like this was an exceptional one to get to it.
Also, you have no Madison in this draft.
I mean, so yeah, mate, you make sacrifices,
yeah,
you
can't,
right?
You can't have everyone. Yeah, true.
It's an illustrative thing. But yeah, so let's come back to this. is Trippier worth more than, is he worth 2 mil more than Botman? I guess that's the real question.
As of now, I can't answer that straight away. Because he could have, like, this could be the end of all his assists for the rest of the season, you know? So, it's really hard to tell. I would say the first instinct is no. Unless you really got so much money that you don't know what to do with it. Which you will if you don't have Salah. Then yeah, spend on it. But if you are tight on cash and you need to skim, then definitely I think Botman is a worthy replacement for Trippier. Pound for pound better than Trippier, that's for sure.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Trippier is going to be worth it at the end of the season, because let's think about how they returned this week. Botman got a header. Trippier set up 3 assists, right? Set up 3 goals. He set up 2 from set pieces, 1 from a corner, 1 from a free kick, and 1 from open play. Which do you think is more repeatable week to week? It's Trippier, right?
Like, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Botman's probably not going to score for the rest of his career.
Exactly. Who's more likely to come off after 60 minutes if he needs... Look, we discussed this last week and you said Hal won't respect FPL. He'll bring him off early. They were leading 5-0 and he kept him on past 60. So obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about. So he's going to keep him playing past 60 minutes and then take him off for Tino, which is great, again, for FPL. Trippier, you know, does really well on bonus. He's got just a better pathway to attacking returns. And we discussed this, right? Clean sheets this year are going to be hard because of playing 97 minutes, 100 minutes, whatever, all this stuff. Newcastle have done well in the last few weeks. But, you know, they are probably going to concede a bunch of 90 plus 5 goals. And when that happens, Trippier is going to be shielded because he has more attacking potential. So, I mean, I think you pay the extra, I feel. And then you come down if you feel like there's no results there, rather than doing it the other way around. Same with Salah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you give up somebody, you know, you give up Saka or you give up Son.
So you are saying, what if it's between, like, let's say, for example, Salah and Botman versus Son and Trippier? Because it's almost about, I mean, you're a bit short by like 0.5 or 6 or something.
No, I mean, you're 0.4. Let's take it. I think that's a fair question. I don't know, man. I don't know what's the answer.
I'd go Trippier and Son, I think.
I think I would too. I think, again, it's about repeatability. Is Trippier's hauls repeatable? Yes. Are Son's hauls as a striker? Yeah, that can happen. Even Salah, those things can happen. Botman is the one that's really like, that. He's just not going to score that many 12-pointers. And that's something that sticks to me, I feel.
Yeah, but nine-pointers are great too. Clean sheet and 3 bonus, which he got last week.
I don't know, man.
And like, bonus from clean sheets are very repeatable. Very predictable, even.
It's because they play Burnley this week that everybody is going to go Botman this week with their transfer, who doesn't have, like me, doesn't have a Newcastle defender because it's Burnley, right? But if it was flipped and it was West Ham this week, I think people go Trippier because you want the security of the attacking returns.
Yeah, true. There is a blanket, I guess, that, like, even if they can't keep a clean sheet, which against West Ham would be pretty tough with the way West Ham have been playing, at least you can hope for an attacking return, right? That's basically it.
Exactly. And I think that's pretty important, but I don't know. We'll find out in a few weeks' time, I guess, who's right, who's wrong. Any other stuff here? I mean, what are the fixtures? West Ham. I guess we've got to finish up with West Ham. Because since Newcastle won 8-0, everybody wants West Ham assets this week. I've got Bowen. I've got the kit as well. You know, I came ready today.
Very nice.
You've got Bowen and Ward-Prowse. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've both got Areola, who we're going to start this week and watch the points come in. Although, I will say, I have Burn Leno. And I just want to just put this out there, right? For people who don't rate us, we said weeks ago, Leno and Areola is the way to go. And Leno just farming 10-pointers now. People still on Pickford. I'm sorry for you. I can't help you, but you should have moved here sooner. Like just because they're a bad team, does it mean that he's a bad keeper?
Why won't you play Leno over Areola this week?
I mean, yeah, Chelsea, because easy clean sheet, right?
Has Areola kept a clean sheet? No. West Ham has not kept a clean sheet this entire season.
Sheffield United, though, mate. I mean,
yeah. But, I mean, they couldn't get a clean sheet against Luton.
They were seconds away, mate. I was so close. I could taste it already. Like, I mean,
I genuinely would play Leno over Areola. The reason why I have Areola on my bench is not to rotate him in, but it's more that if in the event something happens to my main keeper and he has to come in, at least I know I can get 3 or 4 points. Not from clean sheets, but just from his saves, which is a really high floor for a substitute keeper, for a bench keeper, you know? And that's what you want from your bench. High floors, not necessarily high ceilings. High floors so that when you need to play them, at least, you know, you can get four or five points. I will play Leno.
You may be onto something, simply because I think Leno is currently the best shot stopper in the whole league in terms of saves. And that's not an isolated trend. Last year, I think he was second behind Alisson. So, kind of makes sense. They give up a lot of shots, but he saves a lot of shots.
Saves. When did you get a clean sheet, he gets a lot of bonus, usually.
I got 10, mate. I got 10 last week. That saved me. I mean, that's the only reason I barely broke even. But you may be onto something. Because to be fair, the reason I have Leno was I went and saw Fulham Arsenal live. And obviously, Fulham were under the cosh, but Leno came away with 5 points in a 2-2 draw. And that convinced me, like, if you can do that in a 2-2 draw, then you are good to me any week. So, yeah, maybe I start Leno. Maybe you're onto something. I'll think about it. But But keepers aside, right? No one wants to hear about keepers. Let's wrap up. West Ham. Is Ward-Prowse essential this week? Team that can't defend set pieces against James Ward-Prowse. Like, that's easy points, right?
Yeah, I mean, as good as it gets, I guess. I'm happy Ward-Prowse, despite his blank last week. I brought him in for this fixture, not for last week's fixture. Like, any returns last week would have been a bonus, you know?
Yeah, I think I agree, yeah. Would you say what? I mean, you've got in your draft, you've gone crazy, you've got Ward-Prowse, Bowen, and Gordon, but I mean, between all these sort of mid-price mids, right? Moussa Diaby included, Brian and Bomo, just sort of rank them.
Oh, tough. Long term, I think Ward-Prowse over any of them. But short term, I think Gordon, because when he plays, his points, his expected points, his underlines all have been great. It's just that he's been competing with Harvey Barnes, who is now injured. So now that he's nailed for the next few games at least, I think short term Gordon, long term, like season, entire season type hole, Ward-Prowse, I think. And then maybe Diaby after that. Because, I think Diaby kind of getting points here and there, assists here, and there. He's really central to the way they play and looks like their main attacking threat. Supposed to be Watkins, but Watkins can't seem to finish. He did score last week, but I think he's already missed
The goal?
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
I mean, he takes a shot, it hits Colwill, and then it comes back to him. He hits it, goes through Sanchez's legs. Like, I mean, anybody else is missing. It's just because it's Watkins. Someone such is like, what? How's this going in?
And his underlying has been really good, you know. He's had, like, I think 5 big chances already this season, but has got 0 from it. The goal last weekend was not considered a big chance. So, yeah. I think Diaby is probably the best Villa asset. But there's something to be said by the fact that he has got an assist almost every single week. He's only blanked once this season, so I have Watkins since the start. It's been really frustrating. But at least, you know, something has been coming in. It hasn't been 1 and 2s. So,
yeah. I think losing pens is what really puts me off Watkins. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that price... Like, why do I have Callum Wilson? Even though he's got minutes risk, but he's got pens. And I don't know. I feel like pens just make such a big difference.
Yeah. So, I have Watkins in my draft. But there is a high chance that I will go without Watkins. We'll have to see.
Okay. Let's just say this Ward-Prowse thing isn't just a points chasing thing, right? I posted this for those who may have seen it, but basically he's got 1.4 non-pen XG total for the first 5 games. And that is because he didn't play the first game. So that is 56% of his total XG from last season at Southampton. Mm-hmm. So he's already reached that in 5 games at West Ham. So he's clearly playing a much more attacking role because they play what Edson Álvarez and Suchek behind him. So he's got that room to move forward. So, I think Ward-Prowse is, to me, seems like a fairly easy pick. Gordon, are you worried about minutes? Because two things. He's obviously got Joe Linton, who could play there. Isak could play left wing as well some games. But more importantly, he's got 4 yellows. And, you know, I know see, Poch said he spoke to Nicholas Jackson, told him no more yellows, mate, and then he still got it. And I'm sure Eddie Howe has told him no more yellows, but are you scared about that?
I am, but that's the benefit of having a strong bench, I guess. If it really comes down to it and he gets a yellow, you know, okay, he sits on my bench for the next few games. That's the yellow part. In terms of minutes, I think it's fairly secured because he does play really well when he came on. And, you know, he started the season as the first choice left wing. Barnes slowly got his place from him because I think simply because he's a bit older, a bit more mature, has been in the league longer, so can be relied on better, I guess. But Gordon has been really good. I know a lot of people were giving him because he didn't do so well when he first moved to Newcastle last season. But then he did really well in the youth. I want to say Euros. No, what was the youth?
Euro under 21, mate. Under 21,
right? Under 21, right?
Yeah,
England he did won. Really, yeah. Really well for England. And he kind of carried that form in to Newcastle in the start. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with him, with Gordon. But again, at that price, you know, if I really needed to move, if he gets a yellow, another yellow and gets banned, I can easily move to Diaby. No problem. Like, there's so many options around that price. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you find some cash and just go back up to the man, Kaoru Mitoma, mate. This week, right? Not even on... This is why we all have red arrows or, you know, grey arrows this week. It's because Kaoru Mitoma came on and hauled. And everybody who had a game week one team and has not touched the team has Kaoru Mitoma. He comes off the bench. He scores 2 goals. He scored after like 10 seconds. I mean... Did we make a mistake? You know, our Brighton just fixture-proof. We should have just never sold.
It's so tough, right, Brighton? Because, like, the reason why we sold is because we knew rotation was coming. And true enough, it really came. Like, after the Euro games, Mitoma benched. Everyone's benched. And then he came on, he scores. Midweek, again, they lost.
He plays. So he started. He plays,
but then they lose.
He and Estupinan started against Chelsea. Carabao Cup. Like, what for? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just so confusing with Brighton assets now. People talk about Pep rotation. I think Brighton rotation is worse, man. I really have no idea. So
we'll want them again in game week 10 because they play Fulham, Everton, Sheffield, Nottingham Forest, Chelsea in that run. But they play Liverpool, City 8-9. So we can wait for now. But I don't know if you've seen this press conference. Zerbi was asked about, you know, can you give us any injury news, Roberto? And he just said he paused. No. He didn't answer. He didn't want to say.
What a legend.
I mean, some managers at least take the trouble to lie. This dude just don't, he's straight up just not going to tell you anything. So I don't know, man. Brighton. Yeah, it's just... Okay, I think... Is there any other team we wanted to discuss we didn't discuss?
Not really, I think. Yeah.
Let's finish off by best single game week punt this week. Pick one.
West Ham players, I think.
You know, Ward-Prowse or Bowen. Ward-Prowse? Bowen? Okay. Zuma? I can't sell you on Zuma. Tall? Like, jumps really high?
Not... Then after that, what are you going to do with a team that has not kept any clean sheet at all this entire season?
See, people say you don't think about practical stuff, Sam, but yeah, you do.
who says that? Who says that? Maybe I do. Name them.
I do.
Anyway, I have Ward-Prowse, Bowen, and... Areola, so there's Areola. No space for Zuma anyway. Plus, I don't like guys who abuse their cats.
I was just going to make a joke about Zuma goal putting the cat amongst the pigeons or something, but it's in very poor taste and I don't want to get cancelled, so we won't say that. But yeah, I think ultimately, not enough clean sheets, so he may haul this week, but you're never going to want him again. Not an option. I think that's about
Although,
it.
Although, I will say that in one of my old FM saves, I had Zuma in my team and he finished the season as league top scorer exclusively from corners. He once got a hat trick for my team with corners, like just corners. So, yeah.
All right. I guess that's it for us, right? I mean, nothing else, right? Can we think of any other picks? Gabriel Jesus against Bournemouth. I said this a few weeks ago. Would you not be tempted slightly? Just a little bit? Nobody's ever going to own him this week.
If Saka is still injured and Martinelli's injured, what can he do? I think the problem with Arsenal is the drop-off is a bit steep. Maybe not so much on Martinelli's side because, you know, they could play Trossard. Although, did they play Trossard last week? No, right?
Injured as well.
Yeah, so there's only so much one man can do.
Yeah. I mean, we got Kai Havertz, but the less said about that, I think the better.
Okay.
All right. So I guess that is it for this week. So we will see you next week for Sun Game Week 8, Captain C. I mean, that's just going to be the whole episode, just talking about Captain Sun and enjoy the halls, I guess. But yeah,
Captain Madison. In the meantime, Sam. Mm.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, Captain that's Charleston, next week. All right. In the meantime, get your green arrows, guys, and we'll see you next week. Oh, this is big.